I do thank Elon Musk for his continued contribution to our podcast.
You mean a second glass because you're down that one. Okay. And what I will say is that I did it all wrong, right?
Welcome to Leadership Decanted, where we engage with the latest thinking on all things leadership, and we keep the conversation going over a nice bottle of wine. Hey, G.
Paul.
We're back.
We are, and it's a good day. It's a good day. This is a momentous occasion for us.
So momentous. It yes. is momentous. There are moments, and there are momentous moments.
There are, and this is one of those,
That's
and
right.
I'm excited.
Well, it's our last podcast for the year of 2022.
Wow, yeah. Seeing it.
Ooh. Yeah, it matters to those who are listening in real time. It matters less to others.
Yes, you're going to listen to this.
That's right. Who knows when you listen to this? That's
you're
right.
Like, what? Do I care?
Exactly.
No, it's still going to be a good episode.
It's still going to be a good episode.
Listen in.
So which means we haven't done all the calculations, but I think we're kind of 2 years in now.
Yeah.
We've done 2 years.
Yeah, let's say two.
It's pretty good.
I like that.
I like that. Yeah. We can celebrate. And let's celebrate, I guess, with this bottle of wine.
Yes, you went all out for this one. This is good.
Well, you know, I went special.
Yeah,
it looks pretty special. And what I've brought today is, well, there's a theme. Orange. There's another orange wine.
Orange is the place to be.
Yeah.
I could recommend it.
Yeah,
and actually, if you're doing any traveling this summertime, you should think about orange.
Because I think last episode we did an orange wine. I think we did an Angelon.
Yeah.
Well, this one is another orange wine, just as lovely and delicious. It's Straw House.
Straw House.
The Big Bad Wolf. 2019.
And I think one thing I'll point out is I love the little bottle, you know, the image on the bottle.
Yeah.
It just looks cool.
Yeah,
so,
it's
yeah,
like a sketch drawing of a wolf.
Yes.
And I believe they have others with little piggies. So that's very good.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
It follows a fairy tale that
I would tell
now if you don't know it, but I won't go through that.
So once again, similar to the Angelon, bought this at Cellar Door. Very intimate, wonderful little cellar door, owned and run by the winemakers themselves.
Nice.
I think it was Meg and Justin. Shout out to you.
Yay, Meg.
Straw
and
House.
Justin.
Great little wines. And this particular one, this Big Bad Wolf, is a blend of, if I remember correctly, Cabernet Sauvignon, Shiraz, nice. Merlot, and Cabernet Franc.
All my favorite things, I might say. Okay. That's easy to
hear. All my favorite things. So this is the wine, and I would recommend Straw House to anyone who's interested. Online, go in strawhouse.com.au and have a look at the wines. But for now, let's enjoy this Big Bad Wolf.
Cannot wait. Thank
okay,
you, sir.
Sláinte.
Sláinte.
I know we say this every time.
We do.
But this is good.
It's real. And it may be, you know, because I fully admit that you are the one. You're the, you know, you've got this little Midas touch. You just kind of grab the right ones, and this is one of those. So, yeah, we say it, but it's true.
It's
a good
true.
One.
It is true. This is excellent. It's very plummy. You actually taste some plum and dark berries.
Yeah, very full flavor. Very nice. Love it.
It's really very good. Nice textures. Excuse me. I'm just going to go for a second. One moment.
You mean a second glass because you downed that one. Okay.
You're giving away my secrets. Okay, so KG, last podcast episode for the year 2022. How do you want to do this?
Well, first of all, I'm wondering, is it too early to, you know, celebrate 2022? I mean, you know, we're in, what, November, December, but should we?
Is it too early?
Yeah.
Well, we're not farewelling it.
So we can still celebrate.
We can celebrate it. We're just not farewelling it yet.
So I'm thinking, like we've done before, let's talk about us, you know.
Yes.
You know,
my favourite subject is this.
Well, same here. You are my favourite subject.
Really?
So
you say all the nicest things.
Let's hear from you. You know, what was 2022 to you? What did it mean to you in terms of personal leadership, any of that, anything stand out to you for the year that, you know, makes you think, yeah, that's 2022 marketing, you know, stuff? Man.
Okay, I'm glad we're not doing this in real time, because this is going to take...
This is going to be some thinking time. Yeah, we would have the little sound. That's right.
Look, 2022 for me is quite difficult to articulate, because so many things can be said about it in terms of my own sense of leadership. Yeah. And 2022, because I'm assuming we're talking about our reflections on leadership in 2022,
right? That world that we live in.
So I'm going to try and talk about it in terms of the work I do, the access and exposure I have to certain people and certain contexts, and what it might be saying about leadership. And perhaps even then we can start reminiscing and reflecting on the many people that we have talked
about. Yeah, because it's been a good
year.
It's been great.
Because they might also provide some insight around my own reflections as well.
Yeah.
So if there's one thing that I would want to highlight about working with leaders this year, working with teams around the concept of leadership and the practice of leadership, the one thing that stands out for me is the increased tension between urgency and nuance.
Hmm. Explain.
Oh, gee.
I was afraid you'd ask that.
So we're coming out of quite a disruptive 2 years.
Yeah.
Now, the pandemic is not over, but our processes, our physical resilience through vaccines and other means, we have moved on.
Yeah.
The pandemic or the virus is still with us, but we have moved on. The tension I'm referring to is what I've seen many leaders experience, where they have to get things done. They have to somehow wrangle teams, wrangle people to get things done.
Yeah.
And there's an urgency with that. They have to regroup. They have to re-strategize. They have to rethink, re-pivot, redo, rework, you name it.
Yeah.
And that generates urgency, because they don't know what the market's going to do. They don't understand yet how the long-term effects of the pandemic are going to show up in terms of their own operations. So there's a lot of things that they do, and there is quite an urgency. However, in pushing for that urgency as you're working with your teams, working with your leaders, what you lose is what I'm calling nuance.
Mm.
And what I mean by that is the new relationship that many of us have with things like time, with things like work relationships and productivity, with things like our own home office and what that might mean to our return to work. Clearly, we have all experienced different ways of working to the old status quo.
Yeah.
I'm not convinced that we have a new status quo, and understanding what that looks like requires time, reflection, and nuance.
And not this urgency.
That's the tension.
Yes.
A lot of the leaders that I've worked with are very cognizant of that tension. They're not denying that nuance is required, whether you call it sensitivity, whether you call it empathy, whether you call it patience.
Yeah.
Okay. Don't know.
Yeah.
But there's a nuance that requires a slowing down. Whereas on the other hand, there's a speeding up that's also required. So you're requiring both. And leaders, are wrestling with that paradox. You know, you need to slow down to understand how people can reconfigure their working lives, their mindset, their attitudes, their relationships to work. But you got to speed up, because the market's not going to wait.
That's right.
What do you do?
Yeah.
And you have different contrasting approaches. So, yeah, the one that springs to mind, and I do thank Elon Musk for his continued contribution to our podcast, because it does often offer us great case studies.
Yes, yes.
So,
good and bad.
That's right. If you've been listening or are kind of attending to the news lately around what's going on at Twitter, Musk recently bought Twitter for $44 billion. And he has very much injected urgency into the proceedings at Twitter. The urgency seems to lack any form of nuance whatsoever.
Yeah.
Now, whether or not you agree with that approach, that's not the point. What I'm suggesting is that we can see what happens when you are not balancing or finding a way through both.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not offering Mr. Musk any advice because who am I?
You should offer him your services.
No, he's just going to tweet back some really nasty things. I'm not up for that. And I'm not suggesting there is a silver bullet or holy grail to this, but what we can see is what happens when you don't give respect or homage to the other side of the equation.
Yeah.
And that's what I've noticed this year, that leaders are, except for people like Musk who don't seem to be wrestling with it, they just take a particular path. Other leaders, perhaps ones that are much more, I guess, much more aware, self-aware, others aware, yeah. other aware, they seem to be wrestling with it. They themselves don't have necessarily any answers. And in seeking equilibrium between those two things might also be a bit of a fool's errand.
Yeah.
I'm not sure you can get a sort of a homeostatic position between nuance and urgency. You know, when you're balancing on a balance board, you're never really perfectly still.
No, you've got to have a little bit of up and down.
Up and down, sometimes very quickly and very, very fast, so that you can maintain balance.
Yes.
That's what I'm noticing. That's what I've noticed in some of the work. It's that people are now wrestling with, how do I do this? How do I balance the urgency and the nuance? How do I get things done at the same time, be attentive to whatever this new way of working might be?
That's right.
I think it's still a work in progress. I'm not even going to suggest we're going to find a way or land on a position. But certainly 2022 for me has really thrown that up in my face around coming out of the pandemic, what was very much a collective experience of the pandemic. How do we work now? What do we do?
Yeah. Wow. And that's a dilemma that I think we wrestle with for quite some time, because I think you can't get away from people needing the urgency, because there's always going to be a business desire to accomplish.
Yeah.
But how you balance that is the challenge, right? And how you do that balance effectively so that it still accomplishes that moving forward.
Sense of momentum.
Yeah, you want to be moving forward, and you want people externally to see that and feel that, and the same internally. But you do need that nuance. You do need to be sensitive to certain aspects so that you can do it the correct way. And I guess that's probably even the wrong word, because there's no right or wrong to this. It's just...
Well, correct for the context or correct for the situation.
Making sure that you are doing something that pays the right attention to both, right?
That's it. And interestingly, I don't think this dilemma is new. Leaders everywhere and anyone who is working in that space, we've always had that dilemma between nuance and urgency.
Yes.
It's not a new thing. What I think is new is that as a whole, the workforce, almost in its entirety, has experienced a different way of working.
Yeah.
And therefore, there is a different mindset. People are questioning different things. People are questioning things that they thought were off the table, which are now very much on the table. Questioning the status quo around working remotely, for example, that have never been questioned. So I think the structure of the nuance versus urgency is not new, but our experience of it seems new, or certainly loaded in a different way.
Yeah. There's, you know, a lot of conversation about the great resignation over the past year, as well as quiet quitting and things like that. And I think they all really point to what you're talking about, and that it's been a different experience. You know, the masses have felt different about how they work and the way they want to work. And we've got to somehow adjust ourselves to this new feeling, to respect it, but at the same time still push forward in some way so that it doesn't disrupt how we can accomplish our goals. We still need to accomplish some goals. That's what we do. But how do we do that in a way that it really gives all of us the time that we need to make that happen in a way that works for each of us, gives us the right context?
True. And I wonder whether we're going to do a lot of self-promotion here today. our first Cheeky Half, for example, our very first Cheeky Half episode was about, you know, leading with heart or leading with head.
That's right.
I'm wondering whether that can play into it. You know, whether that thinking, once again, it's a false dichotomy. I understand that. But that type of thinking, whether that's going to help inform how we might wrestle with this dilemma of nuance versus urgency.
That's a great one, because, you know, you do at some time have to wrestle with, do you lead with your feeling self or do you lead with your analytical processing self, and that yes. is that hitter heart. And yeah, it's a great point. And I love the self promotion. You just slip that in.
I have more. I'm thinking also, hey, if you're going to do this well, if you're going to wrestle well and productively with this dilemma of nuance versus urgency, how about if you listened?
Yeah.
Right. What if you listened? Now, if I remember correctly, we didn't just have one episode around deep listening.
Yeah,
we had two.
I would say the expert in
We had the right? expert on deep listening in Oscar Trimboli.
Yeah.
Shout out to you, Oscar. Great couple of conversations that took us deep into that space around listening. It was practical. He really kind of worked on us, if I remember correctly, about our own listening and our own practice. And for me, that might be one of the spaces where you start if you're going to wrestle with this new dilemma.
Yeah.
Listen.
This world has changed. And how do you recognize that it has changed and understand in which ways that you should respond? And it is probably that, starting with a great ability to listen, take in the information for trying to just go out and do, right?
Yes.
Because that part of the just go do is where we get into trouble, right?
Well, that's the urgency. When the urgency takes over, we become task-oriented.
Yes, yes.
And we forget those five levels of listening that Oscar was very good at explaining and demonstrating.
Yeah. So with that, I try to think to myself, you brought in Oscar, which was great. Who else did we talk to this year that you remember and that you want to kind of have our listeners look back at? Because, again, it's a little self-promotion, but I think we had a great year of great panel of guests, and they gave us lots of great advice, and not just advice, but pieces of themselves that they revealed in some of the conversations. One of the ones that comes to my mind was quantum leadership.
Oh, yeah. And Rob Barmer.
Yes. Yeah. And I think, wow, those kind of things I still take to this day as far as those levels and how we should be looking at leadership as a cohort and going forward.
True. And we have had some really great guests. It's been so good to just share what we're doing with them and get their perspectives on leadership.
Yeah.
I love them all, got to tell you. Yeah, it's like, once again, you're asking me, who's your favorite? Who's your favorite kid, right? I mean, we started the year, and this is back in January now, with Professor Michael Anderson. Remember that?
Yes, I do.
That was great. In this very same room, actually, that we're in now. Yeah, we're talking about his work, his research, the four C's, the capabilities around creativity, critical reflection, communication, and collaboration.
Yes.
And why that's important in leadership and why that's a capability that we need to have. That was a really incisive and insightful conversation. But so were all of them. And we've mentioned Oscar, and his was really much around our own practice of listening.
Yes.
Now, I remember also we had Renee Mathis.
Renee, yes.
That was a great conversation. Unfortunately, we couldn't have her in the same room to share with in our wine, but she gave us so much information around how she works, her leadership. And what really strikes me about that particular conversation is that whilst we started the conversation around women leading, it soon unfolded that, the sorts of things we were talking about, the techniques, approaches, mindsets, were not really gendered.
Yeah.
Right. And therefore, our conversation was initially bound by that gender thing, but then we kind of let that loose.
Yeah. And I think that was a little bit of us, right?
We had this realization.
Yes.
This gestalt moment.
Right. It's like, okay, this is anyone leading. And it was a great, great chat, because what we did was expose that all of the things that we need as leaders really apply to all of us. And yes, there's nuance to gender and, how we are as individuals and what our preferences are. But when it comes to the broader category of the things that we're all looking to do, it is the same.
Yeah, and we did discuss that in another Cheeky Half. I think it was Cheeky Half number 6.
I need to get this list.
So that was around gender affirmation.
Yes.
And
oh, yes.
We were reflecting.
We talked about that.
Yeah, we were reflecting on that conversation with Renee and our own biases, really, the ones that you and I brought in as a middle-aged, middle-class, well, I'll speak for myself, middle-aged.
More than middle-aged.
Yeah, well, you're spring chicken. And what that meant around our understanding and our engagement with questions around gender and leadership. what I loved about Renee's conversation is that it really spun off those sets of reflections for us. So yeah, that was very, that was
it
very
gave
useful.
Us a new way to approach how we think about it. And I still, again, today, look at things differently because we had those conversations, and it kind of resets how I start a conversation and what my assumptions are about people. It was great.
Now, before we go on to talk about our other guests, I put to you a question. Tell me about your reflection of leadership in 2022. What are you bringing to the table?
Oh, this was a different one for me. In a word for me, and this is hard to, I'll say the word, it's reset.
Yeah.
I don't know if that, you know, really is the right word, but, you know, it comes to
mind. You're not sure it captures it exactly.
Yeah, it comes to mind, and I'll tell you why it comes to mind for me. The way I looked at the year, when I started to look back and when we talked about doing an episode about, you know, the reflection on the year, I felt like there was so much in the time of the pandemic that we learned. We, you know, had to adjust and grow and do all those kind of things quite well. But at some point in 2022 for me, it almost felt as if as leaders, we had to snap out of it and start, you know, looking forward. And to me, that was a reset. That felt like a reset. We did a lot of, we need to be looking forward to plan for the future that is, and not really dwell on the pandemic, which was, you know, like you said, it hasn't gone away. It's still here. But I think quite literally, we're all trying our best to say, yep, we know that that is now a part of our life. It is going to be with us. However, let's push forward. And as a team, as an organization, let's start the moving forward to do new things. So for me, that's a reset. And again, maybe that's the wrong term, but that's what 2022 felt like for me.
What could be another term? What do you think? Because I'm thinking some of the ways that you're describing it, you could fall into that urgency trap.
Yeah, it is. Like, it is.
Let's reset. Let's forget that happened. Let's reset. Let's move on.
Yeah.
But for some people, they're not going to forget anything happened,
it's,
right?
It's not still necessarily a forget, though.
Right.
I think the nuance in the way that I look
Thank
at reset
you for using that language.
Is, and we're pouring again. So, yeah. Yes. Is that I think that a lot of it is not necessarily starting from the same place, but deciding that it is time to focus forward.
Maybe that's why the word reset doesn't work, yeah. Really, because what the assumption or the implication is, you're resetting
to the beginning,
to where it was before.
Yeah, yeah.
And you might be resetting, but not to where you were before.
Yeah, that's right. For me, and the way that I looked at 2022 is I came across a lot of people who were doing what you kind of talked about, which is they were rethinking who they are sometimes, you know, how much they want to do this whole corporate ladder thing, how much they want to be away from their family, or do I want to at all? I am appreciating this work-life balance. Am I doing the things that are most important to me, and things like that? So, you know, in some cases, it was a time in 2022 to start thinking how you reframe what you're doing so that it actually fits this new idea of what leadership, business, work can be or should be.
Right. So it's reframing, not resetting. Is that right? Would that be right?
I like that. Yes.
I don't mean to put words in your mouth.
No, that's good. Yeah. Maybe that's it. Because it is a better description of where I think 2022 is for me. Because it is almost setting a different direction, sometimes different, but using a new frame of reference. That's what we're doing in 2022. We know that we have to do things, but despite, you know, knowing that we have to do things and move forward, we want to keep in mind all of the things that we've learned, that we've experienced, and use that as part of how we move forward. Maybe reframe. I like
reframe. All right. Nice. And for you, in terms of the guests that we've had that maybe we haven't yet mentioned, or even if we have mentioned, what for you, or who for you stands out. Do you need a refresher?
Yeah, yeah, give me a refresher. Because I do need a refresher. Give me a list and I'll say, yes, that was good. Okay. So do I get to say one was good and one was bad? Do I? No.
It's not even true.
It's not even true.
You could say that, but it's not true. I love them all. They're all my favorite children. You mentioned Rob and quantum leadership. What is it about that conversation that stands out for you?
To be honest, Rob's energy, it was amazing. It was truly inspiring, right? Because I think not only does he know his stuff, and you know that, and I know that, it came across as such a well-articulated reason for doing what he was doing, how he came to be in the profession he is, and how he developed his process all really made sense to me. And it was his energy and the way he approached his, you know, even delivery to us, because I felt it in the room. I was like, wow, you know, give me more. So
yeah, very embodied.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And yes, look, and no matter what you think about quantum leadership as a concept, there is an argument to say, look, you can't just take systems thinking or quantum thinking and apply it to social systems.
Yeah.
And you probably can't. And I'm not sure that's what he's trying to do, but I think what he's trying to play is a metaphor.
Yeah.
But regardless of the technical objections people might have or somebody might have, what is important is he was looking to practically embody change and practically embody leadership development. How do you accelerate development? How do you really kind of get to the nub of something that's a capability that's missing, that if we had this, it could make all the difference? How do we get that? Not overnight necessarily, but how can we accelerate the process?
Yeah.
And I thought he had a lot of good practical approaches to that, and his book is full of that.
Yeah, and like you said, it was more around not necessarily forsaking the process of slow growth and you know, doing it in a methodical way, but giving you some keys that when you put these things together, you can really truly accelerate and make things happen much faster. And not necessarily just for the sake of doing it, but when you put these things together, you have the opportunity to really accelerate growth. It was a great segment because of it.
Yeah, I agree. Now, I'm going to take self-promotion to the next level.
This is good. Yeah. I kind of like this, you know that. It's all about us? Is that what?
There was. Well, only because there was a certain episode where you wore two hats. You were both the host and the guest.
Oh, wow.
Remember that one?
I kind of do, yes.
Well, and that was when we talked about your own journey to writing your book. Do you remember that?
I do definitely remember that. And that once is
more,
one of those.
Once more with feeling.
Well, this is the problem, right? Because when I was talking about, can I say whether guests were good or bad, this was where I was thinking the bad would come from. I knew it was none of our.
Yeah. So you're right. I mean, but I really enjoyed that conversation because you've gone to the trouble. I mean, and it's a lot of trouble. It's quite a journey. It is a journey writing a book. And you wrote 10 Leading Tools. I found that quite inspiring. I found that the fact that, you know, here's somebody who had an idea, they wanted to put their ideas down, and they took a step, a very brave and vulnerable step of publishing a book. Now, that was inspirational. Whether you like it or not, KG, I'm sorry. I'm telling you, you inspired me.
You know, I'm not listening to that part. Ignoring that part.
Can you stop playing Angry Birds, please? So it's true. I really enjoyed that conversation. It was inspirational. I found that you're able to conceive of an idea and then, you know, how long did it take you to write that book from beginning to end?
Yeah, it was a couple of years. Two and a half, really.
Yeah, that's a long time, right?
It is. It is. And what I will say is that I did it all wrong, right?
And yes, but you see, I would stop there. I would stop at I did it.
I did it.
I did it. Right. That's enough for me. Yeah, you are amongst a very, very small percentage of the population who can say, I did it.
Yes, I can say that. But let me tell you that.
Yeah.
I guess what I want to do is encourage others to think about doing the same. Because what I did wrong, I would say, is for a long time, I beat myself up because I know that I'm not as good as. because I read lots of these books, right? I think about the way they did it and, you know, how they had so much to say about this and that. And I did that for a long time. So in that 2.5 years, a lot of that was beating myself up about, you know, what it should be and what I expect it to be and the words that should be coming out on the page that did not exist. So, I'll say.
So, what's your next book going to look like then?
So, it'll be, So, you're not trapping me there, no? That's good. I almost fell into it.
Yeah,
good.
You almost did, yeah. Sure.
So, you know, if I were to recommend someone else to write another book or a book, I would say, look, the great part about finishing is hindsight. And that hindsight has delivered me the fact that there is no such thing as great words on a page. You just write. So I did something a little bit unique. I did a dictation. I did it on my iPhone quite a bit and just kind of talked into my microphone quite a bit. And then I would come back later and listen to it and see if I could, you know, figure out what I said. And because it gets it wrong a lot and all that kind of stuff. I realized, though, that it was just getting it out that was more therapeutic and more beneficial than anything. So that's what I would say is that, you know, just put some stuff down. Don't worry about what it looks like, sounds like, what you were trying to get as far as your outcome. And then eventually you'll look back at that and you'll have a whole bunch of words that you actually can put into a book, which is what I did. Now, that being said, I'd say without promoting too much, I'd say go out and check it out. It's a great book.
It is a good book. Absolutely. Totally.
I think any leader will benefit from it in some way.
And but what's your next book called?
It is called Leadership to Candid. We should do a joint
a thing
project. Yeah, we should do that.
We should do a thing. Okay. All right. Yeah. Dang. You really threw that one back in my face.
Yeah, I'm hoping you. So who else did we visit in 2022? Because I know I'm missing some people.
Okay, time to reveal something. I do have a favorite. I do have a favorite.
Whoa, this is big. Okay, I didn't know this.
There is one episode that we called Leadership, the Next Generation, back in May.
Yes.
Where we had the privilege of sitting down with Paige, Cal, Hugh and Rosa.
Yeah.
Who are in their early 20s, and we talked to them about leadership.
Yeah.
More broadly, William, what do you think? What is it? What's your experience? And I found that inspirational.
Yeah, I really did. It was a great
time. I really enjoyed that conversation. I would love to maybe have him back maybe next year or the year after just to see how insights have changed, maybe their experiences have changed. That was a really an enjoyable time. I learned a lot. I was humbled. I was inspired. I was engaged. And I was hopeful.
Yeah.
I think at the time we mentioned that whilst it's a small sample, clearly, if this is what people of this emerging generation are thinking around leadership and how they're thinking they want to practice it, then I think we're okay.
Yeah, I think we are all going to be okay.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Because you're right. They gave us so much more insight into the things that we just don't know, right? At our age, we're just a little bit past being in the know. And I think that they gave us some surprising insights, right? That they do actually think about these things and they have a sense of what leadership should look like, could look like, you know, where they see the good and the bad of what's been done before, which is great. And like I said, I personally at their age had none of that thinking. And I think that's what was inspiring to me is that, wow, this is great. That,
yeah, you know, absolutely. Yeah. Certainly likewise at that age, I'm not sure I could articulate some of those ideas. Talk about nuance. They had plenty of it and they were very articulate. So that was great. And a couple of things also, I know that we often ask for people's ideas and questions and we only do this once a month really.
Yeah.
So we don't have a lot of time, but there were a couple of things that really stood out for us, which we then turned into episodes or turned into one episode and then we had one cheeky half.
Yeah.
So the one around leadership recanted, what happens when leaders go back on their word. That was quite a revealing conversation really because we both had those types of experiences and what that meant for us as leaders. Just recently in terms of our last cheeky half around why would anyone want to lead?
Yes.
That was also a listener-led question.
Yeah, which is great. And I think that is also exciting to know that people have questions that we can, you know, have a conversation around. We may not have the answers, and in fact, usually we don't have an answer.
We don't know what we're talking about.
But we love to be able to put it back into the sphere of conversation that, you know, we can raise for someone else, so that we all kind of have that sense that you're not alone in this thinking.
Right.
So
exactly.
it's a great thing, and really enjoyed those.
Yeah, and as we said at the very beginning when we first started this podcast, this is not a lecture. We're not positioning ourselves as experts. We have dabbled in leadership. We have led teams and so forth. Doesn't make us experts.
No, especially we work in the, not after the wine.
No, right? Exactly. We work in the space. As I mentioned earlier, I work in this space in terms of leadership development. If I say I'm not an expert, is that going to kill my business? I hope not. But I'm certainly not the expert.
Yeah.
And this is just a platform to process ideas, have conversations, have some time. I think I'm happy with the spirit of this podcast.
Yeah.
We've kept it. Let's keep going. Let's keep drinking. Let's keep talking about leadership.
I am with you there, Paul. It is a great thing, and I've been enjoying every minute of it with
you, so really
appreciate it. And I guess at this point, we can raise a glass to our audience and say, you know, I hope you're enjoying your 2022. Look back, reflect, tell us what your 2022 was like, and better yet, even if there's something ahead in 2023 that you want us to look at, talk about, let's do that as well.
Listeners, let us know. We'd love to be guided by you and your thoughts and your ideas. We may just run out of ideas if you don't help us. So please, help us.
help us. Help us help you. All right.
To 2022. And now looking forward to 2023.
Yes.
Slauncher. Thank you, everyone. Have a happy, happy end of year.
Yes. Bye.
That's it for our show today. If you liked what you heard, if you liked our conversation, if you want to hear more, please rate us, review us, subscribe. Tell your friends, your family, your enemies, everyone you know. As always, we'd like to hear your feedback about any particular leadership topic you'd like to hear about or want us to explore. Please let us know by reaching out to us at askus@leadershipdecanted.com. That's askus@leadershipdecanted.com. You can also leave your comments and suggestions at our website at leadershipdecanted.com. We really appreciate your time and comments. Thanks for listening, and come back next time.